So yes, as we come to the Word today, in this Bible course, in one sense I'm sure I don't need to persuade you of the importance of getting into the Scriptures. The fact that you're here, I think, suggests that you understand some of that. But nonetheless, let's just go through a few things so that we can hopefully get our thinking right about how the Lord wants us to approach the Scriptures, what the Word of God is to be to us. So let's just pray again. Lord, as we come to your Word now, please help me, Lord, to speak. Help us all to listen. Lord, give your anointing and the touch of your Spirit upon our times. And speak to us, instruct us, Lord, feed us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, with no apology, we're going to be looking at lots of different verses, moving around the Scriptures. If you're struggling to keep up in terms of finding them, then perhaps just jot the reference down at least, so you know where we are. But let's start with the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, actually in his answer to Satan, who was tempting him to turn stones into bread. And the Lord Jesus says this: "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So the first thing to say is that the Word of God is our food. It's what we need to live on. And so as we come to this Bible course, I think it's important we have that in view. We're not coming to learn how to get information, primarily. We're not coming just for facts. Even just for truth, although that's obviously crucial and necessary. We're coming to learn how the Word of God can be to us our food and our nourishment. And the Lord's words are emphatic. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And notice that phrase, that's proceeding out of the mouth of God. This implies God is still speaking. God speaks today. God didn't stop speaking when the canon of Scripture was finalized. God speaks today through his word, and that's what we want to learn how to recognize. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you'll forgive me if I'm not expounding any of these verses in any great detail. I just want to have a bit of a survey of a few things that the Bible says about itself. So Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 47. So, we beat back up to verse 46, and Moses says, "Take to your heart all the words which I'm warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you." So the word of God is not idle. The word of God is not something that achieves nothing. "But indeed it is your life." What an extraordinary statement. The word of God is your life. So we need to come to the Word of God as though our life depends on it, because it does. Spiritually speaking, our life depends on the Word of God. And so our attitude, our approach to the Scriptures, its position in our lives, needs to reflect that fact. Okay, back to your New Testament. So John chapter 5 now. And verses 39 and 40. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. So the Lord says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And this is an attitude I think we need to be careful of. But we can come, it's possible I think to come to the Bible as if the Bible itself is the end goal. But in a sense it's the means to an end. And this is what Jesus goes on to say. He says, "But these are they, it is these that testify about me." And he goes on to say to the people he was speaking to, "You are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." They were willing to go to the scriptures, but they weren't willing to come to Jesus. And Jesus says the whole point is that the scriptures testify of him. And so we're not in a sense here to encourage devotion to the Bible for its own sake, but because as we come to the Bible, we're actually coming to he who is the living word. And we come to meet him in the word. Do you see? So our coming to the Bible is an occasion for us to come to Jesus himself. That's the whole aim. That we should meet with the Lord Jesus Christ through the word of God, through the written word. We meet the living word in the written word. That's the aim, and that's what we have to remember. And so therefore we're not just about filling our heads with knowledge, but it's about meeting a person.
Yeah.
Do you see? What an encouraging thing that is. And don't worry about turning to it, but in the very next chapter, John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." That's John 6:35. It's one of the references. "He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." He is the bread of life. So for our souls to be satisfied spiritually, we need to come and feed on him. He is our living bread. Okay, let's move on. So if you're in John still, let's go on to chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. In fact, would somebody like to read that for us, just so that it's not all my voice? John 8:31.
"Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'"
Thank you. "If you abide in my word," or my version says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You are truly disciples of mine." This is one of the defining features. This is one of the qualities that marks out a disciple. Is that they continue in God's word. They abide in it. Now I think you can apply that in various ways. I think it means that we live within the boundaries that God's word set for us. We live our lives according to God's word. But I think it has a very practical application that we need to be those who continually are in God's word. Day by day, we're continuing to feed, to learn, to study, to grow, to meditate, to draw near to God. We need to be those who continue, and that's a mark of discipleship. And then back in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 7. And verse 24. Again, if somebody would like to read that, please. Matthew 7:24.
"Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock."
Lovely. Thank you, David. The wise man is somebody who builds his house on the rock. And this is one who hears the sayings of Jesus and does them. And I suppose I want to just pose the question, what else can we build our lives on? Now, I think I've met Christians who build their lives upon an experience. They may have had an experience of God, and it might have been an incredible and an awesome, and I use that word in its proper sense, an awesome experience of God some years ago. And yet that seems to be almost the foundation of their Christian life. They build their life upon an experience that they may have had some years ago. And actually, that's, while that experience may have been wonderful and holy of God, and praise God for it, we cannot build our lives upon experiences. Because experiences are yesterday. We need to have a fresh, daily encounter with the Lord, being fed. Again, that word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which is why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. God has for you a portion of bread that's for today. And that's so wonderful. And our Christian lives will only have strength and freshness if we are actually receiving that daily bread. So don't let your life be built upon an experience you had some years ago. I think there's a danger that we can build our lives around a certain Christian teacher. We can have a certain person, a certain preacher, a certain ministry as the foundation of our Christian life. And again, that's no good. Jesus says, no, the foundation is hearing his sayings and doing them. And maybe you can think of other things we can build our lives on. I'll tell you one thing that I think is quite relevant today. We can build our lives, if you like, on hymnology. On the doctrine that comes to us through Christian songs. Mm-hmm. And that doctrine can be of varying degrees of quality, shall we say. We cannot afford to have our theology, in other words, our understanding of God, built upon Christian songs. Okay, we need to have a Christian life that's built upon meeting with God, hearing his word and putting it into practice. It's the only solid foundation Jesus gives us. Elsewhere, being founded on the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. One or two other things before we just get into some practical questions. Two things. Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Don't worry about turning there. But Amos 8:11 speaks about a day when there will be a famine on the land. Not for bread or water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. That will happen. I think it, to an extent, is happening already in this nation. The question is, what's the Christian to do when there is a famine for hearing God's word? Well, the wonderful thing is, and the reason we're here, is that we can learn to receive that word which proceeds from the mouth of God ourselves, directly from him. So actually, your Christian life and your Christian growth doesn't have to, and it shouldn't, depend on Christian leaders, pastors, teachers, whatever. You can survive. If there is, generally speaking, in the country, I feel like we're getting a bit smoked out by the fire here. I'll attend to that in a minute. If even if there is a bit of a famine in the land, or more than a bit of a famine, that doesn't mean that you have to starve. Because the Lord wants us to learn to go directly to him and be fed through the scriptures. I can say with all my heart, and I know I can speak for all the other elders as well, the last thing we want is to have a church that depends upon us for its spiritual life. If that were the case, we have utterly failed in our calling. We need, and our desire is to nurture growth amongst the people of God so that you become utterly independent of us. Now, of course, God puts us together as a body and he appoints teachers and so on. But do you understand, essentially, your spiritual life is to be linked to all that God gives you. First hand, and not recycled food coming from another Christian teacher. What a wonderful thing. And I want to wrap all this up by turning to Jeremiah 31, and do turn to this passage if you will, please. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. Barnabas, would you be happy to read that for us, please?
Yep. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
Lovely. Thank you. So here the Lord is talking about the new covenant, this new relationship the Lord was going to establish between himself and the house of Israel. And this is the covenant that we are brought into as Gentile believers. And notice what it says. He says in verse 33, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So do you see that being God's people, him being our God, is intricately linked with him putting his law within us and writing it upon our hearts. It's extraordinary. And therefore, in verse 34, they will not teach again each man his neighbour and his brother, saying, Know the Lord. So you're not dependent on being taught by an intermediary. You're not reliant upon a priesthood. But it says, they will all know me. And of course it goes on to then speak about forgiveness and so on. But this, I just want to highlight this, that this is the essence of a New Testament relationship with the Lord Jesus, is that he himself is teaching us. And he is putting his law within us. That he's writing it upon our hearts. But that shows you then that it's more than just coming to understand certain things, but it's the work of the Spirit of God to actually inscribe it on your heart so that it becomes a part of you. You see, this is bigger than just, oh, I've understood a fact. No, this is actually, it's been somehow made into being a part of the core of who I am. That's the new covenant. And that's what's the glorious possibility that's open to us. So, without further ado, Colossians 3:16 says, Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's the verse we've got at the top of the programs, if you've spotted it. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Not meagerly, but richly. And so... Okay. So, let me just ask you a question now, and please do just shout out some answers. The question is, how, therefore, in light of all that's just been said, how are we to get into the Word? Or let me change the question around. How are we to get the Word into us? Give me some ideas.
Read it.
Thank you very much. Yes, we can read the Word of God. It is, after all, a book. So yes, we can read the Scriptures. Another idea. How can we get into the Word?
You could sing the Psalms.
Absolutely. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Yes. We can sing the word. Yes.
Fellowship with other Christians.
I think that's important. I wouldn't say that's one of the direct ways to actually get into the Scriptures. But certainly within that context, we can do so. Yeah.
Memorising verse.
Memorising Scripture. Absolutely. And I think really what Shirley said about singing the scripture, I would suggest that that's almost a subset of memorizing the Bible. Mm. It's a really, because you know, don't you? You know hymns. You can sing entire hymns off by heart. How many chapters of the Bible can you recite off by heart? If you put something to music, it sticks in your mind. And so actually to sing the Psalms, it is, we are to speak to one another in Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. But I think it's a really good way to memorize scripture. Yes. Okay. Any other thoughts? There's three more.
Meditation?
Meditating in the Word of God. Yes, definitely. Two more?
Cross-referencing Scripture.
Yes, sorry. Which is, in a sense, what you would do if you were...
Researching.
Yes. Yeah.
Studying,
thank you, yes. So studying the Scriptures. And then one more.
Practicing.
Okay, I'd say almost that's what we need to get to once we've done the other bit.
So
one other way that we get the Word of God into us, let's say.
Listening the same as reading.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, so I think you've hit the nail on the head. So hearing the Word of God. Now, I would subdivide that into two sections. So that could be just hearing the Scriptures themselves read. And actually, that's very easy nowadays because of lots of Bible apps. You've got the audio Bible, so you can just listen to the Word of God. If you're driving somewhere, you can just listen to it. That's really good. But also hearing it preached, hearing it taught, so having somebody expounding a passage of scripture. Okay, so you've got those five things: studying, reading, memorizing, hearing, meditating. And they all have slightly different functions, different purposes. So let's think about them. What would you say is the aim or the main function of reading your Bible?
To learn about God and His ways.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. It's to learn about God, to get to know Him, His ways, His character. Reading, if you like, gives you the big picture. It's the broad view of God, His counsel, His purposes. And therefore it follows that we need to read all of the Bible. Given that all Scripture is inspired by God, we need to read all of it, the whole thing. And we'll talk a bit more about that later on. Hearing it. What is the purpose of our hearing the Bible? Any thoughts?
Words like fire. So
yes,
when we apply the word to us, the dross within us should actually begin to burn up.
Absolutely right. Yes, definitely. So the word is like fire. Now I think that could happen, be it through reading or studying or meditating, any which way. But certainly that is one function of our being in the word. Yes.
Does hearing build our faith?
It does, thank you. So Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So as we hear the word of God, and particularly as we hear it preached, that's the context of Romans 10, preaching the word, that builds faith in our hearts. Hearing is also important because given that God has appointed pastors, teachers, and so on, hearing therefore has a function of helping our understanding, of correcting our understanding perhaps, of the word of God being unfolded to us, and so on. What is the purpose of study? What's the function of studying?
To learn.
Yes, to learn about
God.
God, yep. And, or even sort of in a bit more detail, you might decide to study a particular topic in the Bible. So you may do a study on, I don't know, sanctification. You could study a person. You could study a place. See, it's very interesting to see what happens at certain places. You might study a number. I mean, there's all sorts of things you could study. You could study a book or a passage. But the idea of study is that we gain accurate understanding, the detail of what the Bible has to say about any one of those things. Right? So therefore, if you like to gather the information about a particular subject, person, place, book, etc.
And also, does it helps with context?
Yes.
Rather than just read the odd few verses, you've got it in the context in the
Bible,
which gives you the fuller meaning of it.
Yep. So we'll talk a bit more about context later on, but you're absolutely right. To see what the whole of the Bible says about a certain subject is very true, because very rarely does one verse contain the whole truth about a given subject. So we need to see all of what the Bible says. Okay, what's the purpose of memorising?
Bring to remembrance.
So that, yes, so the Spirit will bring to remembrance, that what we've learnt.
When you're in life, you can draw on it.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're in a troubling time, you can draw on something, or somebody questions you, it shows to yourself, you're strong.
Yes, definitely. So the scripture says, be ready to give an answer. And I think that a part of that is actually having the word of God at our fingertips. And memorising is not easy. I don't find it easy. But it's a really good thing to do. I think as well, the psalmist said, thy word I have treasured in my heart, or hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Somehow having the word of God committed to memory, actually, it keeps it close. And I think it's a good thing to keep us from sinning and keep us in the ways of God.
Actually, remembering too that the word of God is in fact Jesus. Jesus, word made flesh.
Yes.
So when we're studying Jesus, and we're getting Jesus into us, and we hopefully act and react like he would.
Yes, absolutely. So it's being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I think memorising is key in that, as well as all the other ways of getting into the word.
It's part of knowing something, isn't it? Because when you remember something, you know it more fully, more truly.
Yeah.
And it's certainly true. Thinking about music, if you memorise a piece of music, you have the whole thing within yourself.
Yes.
You're not just decoding something on a page.
Absolutely. That's a really good example.
You've absorbed it into yourself.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, the word becoming a part of us, it's really good. So we memorise. And then, finally, meditating. What's the purpose of meditating, do you think?
Renewing your mind.
Renewing your mind, yes, it's a part of it, yeah.
Listening to God.
Richly, we become more like Christ.
Yes, yeah. One other thing I'm looking for, I'm going to say. So think about this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord said to Joshua, do not let this word, the book of this law, depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What do you normally do to things you put in your mouth?
You
feed on them.
Yeah.
Meditation is about feeding. And if you eat something, the whole point is that the nutritional value it has literally becomes a part of you. Yes, chemically, the food that you eat is absorbed into your body.
Mm-hmm.
As we meditate on God's word, the idea is that the nutrition it contains, the life-giving truth it contains, is absorbed and actually becomes a part of who we are. It's built into our Christian life. Our meditation is our feeding. So, this has to be very brief. These are the five disciplines, you might say. And a group called the Navigators came up with an illustration of this called the five fingers, which I think is quite helpful. So they said, imagine you've got, you don't have to imagine you've got five fingers, I trust you have, or at least four and a thumb. So you've got, not worry so much about the order of the first four, but we've got memorising, reading, studying, hearing the word of God, and meditating. And I think what they said, and I agree with it really, that the meditation is like the thumb. And if you try to pick up anything without using your thumb, you'll have at best a kind of a pretty flimsy, weak grasp on it. When you get your thumb going, you can really grip it firmly. And I really believe, and this is why we're particularly going to emphasize Bible meditation today. Because I think it's so crucial, and it's often the missing link, actually, in our coming to the Lord. And it's the thing that limits our strength as Christians. Because we're not meditating. We're not actually feeding on Christ in the Word. So those are the five fingers. And I hope that serves as a brief introduction. And we would encourage you to get all five of those things going in your daily life. And we'll talk more later in the day about how you might do that practically. But after the break, we're going to start to focus, to home in particularly on the meditation. Anne, did you have a question?
Yes, right there.
Okay. Well, anybody else, any questions? I'm aware that was a bit of a whistle-stop tour around various things. But I hope it helps to set the context for what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah, sure. So we've got reading, studying, memorizing, hearing it, and finally meditating. Okay? Great. Well, Father, we thank you for these wonderful things you've given us, ways that we might get into the Word and that we might get the Word into us. And take us on, Lord, as we learn to do these things practically, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 minutes over by my watch.